mentioning some plans for this the coming fall and next year. And it always helps, and it's a blessing. And we'll go over a financial report a little bit and tell about, you know, see what we've been doing and one thing and another. So with that in mind, I'd like to preach to you this evening on an office, holding being an officer in a local church, and what all that includes and what you should be and what it means, why we have a local church with a membership. And the Bible said here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, that verse said that I'm supposed to take what God has given me, I'm supposed to commit it to faithful men who are to teach others. Everything God's given me from His Word, and I get up here and preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, other preachers get in here and preach. We're supposed to instill these truths in the hearts of faithful men. Then these faithful men are to go, they're to take a bunch of little boys about that high, and they're to stand there, and they're to convey those truths from their head and their heart into those little guys' head and into their heart. That's what a teacher is. I believe one of the most underestimated, unrewarded, unrecognized position in a local church is that of being a Sunday school teacher. I believe that God has some great rewards one day to pass out to faithful Sunday school teachers who have taught. I read about this one lady who was 100 years old. She had taught Sunday school for 21 years, or only except for 21 years. She taught it like 79 years, something like that. All of her life, almost 80 years, she had taught Sunday school. Think about that. 80 years. She wasn't one of these that says, well, I've done it for a year. I want to move over and let somebody else have a chance at it. She wasn't one of these that said, well, I feel like I've done all that I can do for my class. 80 years. 80 years, man. She just kept on plugging. You know what I've noticed about a lot of God's people? I've noticed this about preachers. I've noticed this about deacons and Sunday school teachers and workers. We don't stay at anything long enough to see the results. We start a little something, quit it, start a little something else and quit it. It takes years and years and years. Brother Bruce was telling yesterday about the results of our bus ministry. Man, that didn't happen overnight. It takes 15, 20 years to begin to see the result. I can now see young people singing up here in our choir, teenagers that used to be like this, singing up here, or just they're sitting in their mama's lap, sucking a bottle. I mean, in the nursery. It takes a long time. And we need a dose of just old-fashioned being faithful to our job in this generation. Not giving up so easy. Not just throwing in the towel just because we have a little adverse circumstance. But to hang in there and do right and obey God. I'm going to talk about this in a minute, but you know that, you don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to be a Sunday school teacher. Some of the best Sunday school teachers I've ever been across these mountains have been people without even a high school education. You know, God just wants somebody who will get in the Word and believe it and have a faithful heart. That's what He wants. I'll guarantee you that. I mean, and I don't brag about this, but I mean, look at me. I mean, I've never been to college. I've never been to Bible school a day in my life. And I mean, by the world standards, I shouldn't even be in the ministry. You know, the world thinks I shouldn't even be a preacher. Half the preachers thinks I shouldn't even be a preacher. They'll have to argue with God about that, man. But I want to tell you, man, what am I doing up here? What am I doing up here? I'm not even supposed to be a preacher. And here I am. Here I'm going. I've got lists of preachers this long at home, pages of them waiting on me to call them to come preach at their church. I've got 10,000 times more to do than I can do. I have just all next year, most of all next year, already planned out. I have people call me all the time. Florida, California, Texas, here and there. Can you come here? Can you come there? Can you come here? I think, I don't know. What am I doing here? What am I going to tell you? They get me up there and they say, how do you start a youth choir? I say, I don't know. Just get them to get up there and sing. They're saying, oh, come on now. They say, well, how do you start a church? I said, I don't know what to do. I can tell you a bunch of stuff you better not do. But I don't know. I don't know a whole lot about it. But I'm like this tie. See, two or three people say, boy, nice tie, preacher. Nice tie, preacher. You know what that is? That's a Rush Limbaugh tie. And hallelujah. Amen. Felt the touch of God on it right there. I mean, gold chain on the back of it, gold, all that. Them things are $40-something in the mall. I got this one at the Dead Man's Store for $4.88. That's right. $4.88 at the Dead Man's Store down in Alabama. That's the best place to go. And you know what? I don't know who wore this thing, some dead man. And it was a little bit wrinkled, and I just laid him out on the ironing board and ironed him up real good. Come out pretty nice, amen? And I'll tell you what, see, I go out and look for stuff in the dark, don't need a flashlight, or nothing like that. But you know what? This is just a $4.88 tie. Had you fooled, didn't it? It don't take a whole lot to be gutting God. I mean, if you could get some of you right here, all you need is God to iron you up a little bit, and straighten you up a little bit. God could use you. God could use you to be a great Sunday school teacher. God could use you to be a great preacher. God could use you to be a great soul winner, a bus worker. God could use you. You say, well, Brother Danny, I ain't no $40 tie. I'm just a $4.88 tie. Well, let the Lord iron you up. People never know the difference. I mean, just get up there and let the Lord bless you, man. Let the Lord bless you. God's not a talent scout. You don't have to have an IQ of 140. All you got to do is just say, Lord, put me on the ironing board and iron me up and use me for your glory. I'm going to tell you, I had something funny happen to me. Brother Bruce told me to tell you this. I'm not really a great preacher or nothing. He told me to tell you this. They brought a girl to hear me the other night, all these young people. And I'm telling you, the whole front row is full of girls. And I'm not used to that. And to tell you the truth, I don't think it should be that way. I don't think girls ought to sit on the front row. But they did then. And the whole front row is full of teenage girls the other night. There's one or two boys. And they brought this girl. Someone the girl brought. She said, they want you to hear this preacher. And she brought this girl to hear me. The little blonde-headed teenage girl. And she had on a dress up to right there. I ain't kidding you. Right here. Come right in, flop down on the front row. And I know, you know, people's going, oh, you know, like that, you know, and trying not to be embarrassed for and all that kind of stuff. And I noticed while she's sitting there, I was sitting over here in a little chair like this, and I looked at her when the choir went up, and she was just doing like this, you know. She's feeling guilty because she kept pulling on it like that. And I didn't know this till after the service, but I know after the service they came by me and I shaking in, she wouldn't even look at me. And boy, after the service over, this other girl told me, she said, my friend did not like you. And I said, I didn't think she is so hot herself. And they said, she said, she did not like you, Brother Danny. And I said, why? She said, well, one thing, she said you spit on her leg. I don't remember this. She said you spit on her leg. I said, well, she'd have had them covered up. I wouldn't have had to spit on them. Amen. Ain't my fault. You know, sometimes I walk around this little bitty church. I walk around here just haggling and spit on her. I didn't even know I'd done that. And they said, another thing she said, you said that she didn't like. She said that you said there's devils in every church. And she said there wasn't no devils in her church. She went to some big dead dry church somewhere. Well, I'll tell you what, brother, our young people's in a mess. Our world's in a mess. Our kids are in a mess. We need somebody that'll take their job for God seriously. We need some Sunday school teachers and some officers and some workers in our churches that will take it seriously. We believe in a local church background. This right here tonight, New Manna Baptist Church is what we call it. It's what we call a local, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church. And I must emphasize the word Bible believing. Just a man says, I'm fundamentalist, that don't mean nothing. Catholics fundamentalist, they believe the fundamentals. And a lot of people believe the fundamentals, but is a man a Bible believer? That's what you're looking for. And brother, this is a local, independent, Bible-believing Baptist church. Now, when we have a local, independent, Bible-believing Baptist church, we have to have some kind of organization. And the reason we do that, we have membership. And the reason we have membership is for one reason, for organization. You got to have membership. Somebody said, well, that church, there are no members, just whoever comes a member. Do you realize how dangerous that is? Do you realize that if that's that way, that a group of homosexuals could just come in and outnumber us and vote to do whatever they want to do? And they can just say, well, you come, you're a member. Oh, no. It ain't going to work that way, brother. There ain't no homosexual going to come in here and vote. There ain't no homosexual going to come in here and join. They might come in here and get saved. They can come in here and get right with God, but they're not going to say nothing. Nothing. Not a word. Amen? You say, you're discriminating. So what? Amen? You're discriminating against preachers for judging me like that. Did you know out there in Wisconsin somewhere, there was these two women had applied in the paper for a roommate, and a lesbian turned in the ad and said, I'm going to move in with you. And the two ladies felt uncomfortable about it and refused the lesbian for coming in rooming with her. And she took them to court and sued them and won the case. And the judge made them pay her $3,000 emotional damages. Buddy, you don't think we're living in a screwed up world? How come we can't sue Marilyn Manson for emotional damages when he rips pages out of Bibles at a rock concert? I couldn't sleep a week all night when he did that. It hurt my feelings. But you see, there's a group in this country called the ACLU. That means American Crooked Lawyers Union. And the devil raised them up to stand against everything and anything that's right. I want to tell you, bless your heart, you're in one of the few places in America, Bible-believing churches like this, where the flag of truth can still be waved, and the book can still be preached, and we can still say what's right and what's wrong, and we better enjoy this freedom. We're not enough to have it one of these days. Amen? You say, boy, I'll tell you, Brother Danny, this is making me nervous. That's because you're brainwashed by the TV. You've been hanging around them cults. That's what's wrong with you. Better watch out. You'll get brainwashed. Listen, it's scriptural to have a local church. For government, for fellowship, you ought to go to church. What if there was no churches? What if there was no Sunday school? Let me give you 7 reasons for everybody going to Sunday school. And I mean this is for everybody. I'm talking about you, man. I'm talking about you, ladies. I'm talking about you, men. I'm talking about some of you I saw dragging in here at 11 o'clock this morning. Everybody ought to go to Sunday school. Number one, you ought to go to Sunday school is because the best book in the world is studied and taught at Sunday school. Number two, you ought to go to Sunday school because the best day is utilized in a great way. There ain't no use laying in the bed till 10 o'clock in the morning. Man, 10 o'clock, what'd you do for dinner time? I mean, you should have got up on, come on over here. And people say, I just can't make it. You can't make it by 10 o'clock? Lord, you need to go to the doctor. You be ready in the morning, I'll come get you and take you to the doctor. You're sick. You're bad sick. If you can't make it by Sunday school at 10 o'clock, you need a doctor. You've got Alzheimer's disease. Or something worse. I know some of you are mad at me, but listen, I'm sweet as I can be. Just not right now. I'm telling you, brother, I'm telling you, the best day is utilized. Number three, the best people are assembled. for Sunday school. That's when God's people meet and study the Word of God. You say, I don't get nothing out of it. Come anyway. We'll make you the teacher. Number four, you're just lazy and don't want to come. Number four, the best institution is awake and it worked for the Master. That's the church of the Lord Jesus. Number five, the best work is being done. Number six, the best development is assured. You can learn the things of God. Number seven, the best equipment is supplied. A Sunday school class with a Sunday school teacher with a burning desire in their heart. You know, let me tell you how to kill your Sunday school. Here's how to kill your Sunday school. Number one, don't go. Number two, if you do go, be late. Walk right in the middle of it. If it's number three, if it's too wet, don't go. If it's too dry, don't go. If it's too hot, don't go. If it's too cold, don't go. And if it's a beautiful day, don't go. Have a picnic. That'll put you in here three or four times a year. Number four, when you do go, be sure and find fault and say Brother John's lesson was boring, or fuss when we have a missionary, or say something, find fault, or be sure and do that if you want to kill it. Number five, refuse every invitation to help. Tell them you'd rather sit back and let some more qualified do it. Number six, never encourage the other officers. Criticize them and tell others how you would do their job if it was you. Number seven, never take part in the service. Number eight, point out all the mistakes you can to the workers and teachers and condemn them. Number nine, never put more than 3 cents in the offering plate. If you didn't have no pennies last Sunday, just give twice as much next Sunday. Number 10, believe everything you hear about the Sunday school without any investigation. Number 11, wear a sour face and show your disapproval of everything that's going on. Number 12, stalk out of church as soon as it's over and don't speak to anybody. I know some people like that. You say, you're not sweet. I am sweet. I just ain't showing it right now. I'm like one of them little things that's sour on the outside and you have to suck it a while. And then the sugar's on the inside. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, brother. You hear me? Sunday school is important for fellowship. I heard about a fellow who went 3,000 Sundays in a row. 57 years, man. It's a privilege. How privileged we are to work for the house of God. What's it going to be on your record when you get to Sunday school and God puts up all these Sundays? When we get to heaven, God puts all these Sundays. How many use out that one? There use out another one. There use out another one. There use out another one. Two in a row. There's three in a row. Then you came. Then you missed three or four. Listen, it's a bad habit. I'm telling you, it's a bad habit. It gets worse as the years go by. You need to make up your mind, I'm going to be a part of it. It's a privilege. It's an honor. Don't complain about how things go if you don't even show up to help make any decisions. Amen? It's an honorable thing just to be a member, just to be a Sunday school teacher. You know, a lot of people say, hey, I work for the social services. You know, a lot of people say, hey, I work for the government or the FBI. We have people work for the police department. So what an honor. And people say, wow, they work for the government. They work for the post office. Somebody might say, I even work for the United States government of the White House. Wow. People would say, wow, that guy worked. Guess what you can do? You can say, hey, I'm a part of New Manor Baptist Church. Yeah. Amen. Lord, have mercy on you if you're so backslid when it comes up at work that you don't even want to tell them you come. God, have mercy on some of you wimpy men that when they start talking about our church at work and they say, well, so-and-so, he goes over there. And they all look at you and you look up and say, it's my wife. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You little jellyfish backbone thing, you. You ought to stand up and say, hey, I'm proud of our church. Amen. And turn right around and say, hey, you're too chicken to come, ain't you? Yeah. All these ex, you know, that ain't never been here. Tell them they're chicken if they don't come. Amen. Honor. It's an honor to be a Sunday school teacher. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Psalm 84:10 said, in the house of God. Amen. And I dwell in the tabernacles of the wicked. Amen. Hey, them boys that stand over there, Brother Carmi over here, Brother Mark over there, what's his name? Brother Cotton and Mr. Thompson over here at this door, and Mr. Flowers and Tater and all them guys stand at the door. Hey, they've got a higher job than to being a queer on the president's cabinet in the White House. Amen. Amen. And baby, they there's a lot of them up there too. Well, there's a couple of people in here tonight. You must be visitors because you got the sourest look on you. You look just like your mother-in-law has moved in with you. All I can say is grin and bear it. I'll be done in a minute. Amen. Be well. It's your responsibility. It's your responsibility. Amen. What would you like to be at the judgment one day when you stand before the Lord? What would your record be? One man said, I was the only man in the National League to hit home. I was so many, three home runs in the World Series and 19. Well, so what? Here we are at the judgment. Heaven, hell, man. Who cares how many home runs you hit? You know, these people do these stupid things have you seen these people do these stupid things to get into, Guinness Book of World Records or Ripley's, believe it or not. They do the dumbest thing. One of the girls at camp, teenage girl, she said, Brother Danny, can you blow a bubble in a bubble? And I said, why, no. I don't even chew bubble gum that much, but once in a while, she's chewing bubble gum, and I said, well, you can't neither. She said, I can too. Watch. She blew a bubble. We come out there about like that. And then she started doing her mouth like that. And blew another bubble inside the bubble. I said, well, let me try that. I got me some bubble gum, put it in there, and I never was much of a bubble blower. I can blow them about that big. So I blowed me one, and man, I tried to blow another inside that, and I couldn't do it to save my life. I was trying to hold that one bubble like that. And then I was gonna try to blow that other bubble. I said, how you do that? And she thought, and now I can start going around and saying, this is stupid. What good's this going to do us? And you know, people get hung up on all kind of crazy things like that. One man had the world record for making the largest pancake. What in the name of common sense good is that going to do anybody on the judgment day? Biggest pancake. I made the biggest pancake. Well, so what? It took 5 gallons of Aunt Jemima to pour all over this thing and four sticks, 40 cases of butter and all that. Oh, well, so what, man? That ain't going to do nobody no good. Guess what? The temperature in hell is 8,000 degrees. What do we do to keep one person out of it? That's what's going to matter, buddy. That's what's going to matter. Amen? That's what's going to matter. Don't turn down a job. Sunday school teachers ought to be faithful. Faithful to the Lord, faithful to church. Many masters will receive the greater condemnation. You're expected. If Baxter's up here, let their employees do like churches and Sunday school teachers do, Baxter would go broke. What if people just went to Baxter and worked when they felt like it? Or felt led? And come in late. I mean, come in late. If you come in late on your job every single day, you're going to get fired, man. You're going to get fired. And if you come in late for school, you kids, you're going to get in trouble. And you know what it is? This stuff about being late for church, it's a dirty habit, and that's all it is a habit. Now, once in a while, things happen. You say, well, Brother Danny, I just couldn't get ready on time. I just couldn't. Well, how come I can get here every time before it starts? And Brother Bruce can. All these other. Now, there might be. I have people call me. The phone's ringing a lot of times, and I'm trying to run out the door. But you know what I do? I said, listen, I've got to go to church. You can call me after a while. I've got to go to church. You cannot let just any little old thing just keep you and hinder you from coming to church. You know what? I want to tell all you young couples something. I'd be scared to death let a baby keep me out of church. I'd be scared God would take that thing. That's mean talk, but I would be. If it was mine, I'd be afraid the Lord might do something to it. That ain't big amen, but it's a truth. I'd be scared. I'd be scared to let my job keep me. I'd be afraid I wouldn't be able to help to go to that job and work. God's been good to us. The least we can do is be faithful men and teach others also. Well, I was going to say a bunch of things, but I'm going to hush here in a minute. Did you know? There's a Sunday school teacher back 1800s, led a young man to the Lord. Just a little boy, young boy. His name was D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody got saved, as you know, become a great evangelist. And in 1877, awakened the zeal of God in the heart of a fellow by the name of F.B. Meyer. F.B. Meyer went and come to the United States and preached and brought the Lord Jesus Christ and reached a man by the name of J. Wilbur Chapman. Chapman employed a former baseball player and a young guy named Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday got on fire for God, held a campaign in Charlotte, North Carolina, and men got on fire for God, and they wanted more, and they had another preacher come down there and preach called Mordecai Ham. And Mordecai Ham preached a meeting down there in Charlotte, and a big tall boy went down and got saved named Billy Graham. Billy Graham reached no telling how many hundreds of thousands of people for the Lord ever since. And that started with one Sunday school teacher leading a young boy to the Lord Jesus Christ. No telling how many millions of people be in heaven because Kimball, a Sunday school teacher, talked to D.L. Moody. Now, this coming Sunday morning, when you walk in, instead of seeing little brats, to pinch your head off, man. How much longer? Let's start late and quit early. Get them out of here. Just think about that might be the next D.L. Moody. They said one time there's this little boy named Little Johnny, and he's come to Sunday school and he's real mean. They couldn't do nothing with him, to tell you the truth. And Little Johnny, they couldn't do nothing with him. Somebody in church come and told that man, they said, if you bring that kid back Sunday school, me and my whole family's quitting. We ain't coming to people like that. And so they quit bringing him, left him at home. And he grew up and became famous. And you've heard of him. His name is John Dillinger, one of the greatest criminals in the history of our nation. He didn't go to Sunday school. He didn't go to Sunday school. I'd make up my mind here tonight, hey, buddy, I'm going to be here like a clock ticking. And I might as well, this is a good time to say this too. And I'll be through. You make sure that your kids are where they're supposed to be in their class. I'm telling you, some of you parents, you blow my mind. Do you honestly think I'd... Corey, she's in here somewhere tonight. Where's she at? There she is. She is... How old are you, honey? Huh? Tell me, 10 years old. She just had a birthday the other day. She's 10 years old. You think I'm going to let her sit in here in this adult class? Are you out of your mind? You say, why? To teach them. To teach them God's work is just as important as school. You think I'm going to take her out there tomorrow and put her in the 11th grade? She wishes I would. She's going to be in, what grade are you in? I'm telling you, I'm busy, man. No, I know what grade she's in. Eighth. No. Let me tell you something, brother. You think I'm going to go out there tomorrow and put her in 12th grade? You want to show her she ain't in 12th grade? She ain't supposed to be in the 12th grade. I can't believe some of you parents, and then you'll sit there and get mad at me. Why are you mad at me? I'm nice. I've moved down from sweet to nice now. Don't hustle. I'm going to be plumb sour here in a minute. But listen, how important do you think church is? Lord help, man. I think it's more important than that school out there. There wouldn't be no school if it wasn't for this church right here. Amen. Think my kid's going to sit in here in adult class? You're crazy. You think that 10-year-old is going to go out there and sit in a teenage class? You're out of your mind. She's going to go in her class where she's supposed to be. Now, sometimes circumstances may be that she can't. Sometimes circumstances may necessitate her having to be somewhere else or do something else. But, brother, I'm telling you what, she's going to grow up learning, my Sunday school class is important. And I'll be there. You say, well, I won't let my kid go in their class because I don't like that Sunday school teacher. Okay, here's what you do. I've heard that comment. I don't know who made it, but I heard this comment. Somebody said, well, I ain't going to let my kid go in that class if so-and-so's a teacher. All right, here's what you do. If you've got something on them I need to know, if they're being immoral or getting drunk or something like that, you come to me and tell me, and they won't be no Sunday school teacher next Sunday. But you better better have your stuff together. And you better be able to prove it, not no gossip. Boy, some of you are looking a little squeamish on me again. I mean, it better not be no gossip. You better have your facts right here and say, I know this to be a fact, preacher. He's drunk last night. I mean, you better have us as a fact. And if you ain't, you better just straighten up and fly right. It might be what your little brat needs. And I have nobody in mind when I say that. Some of you sitting there, he's talking to me. He's talking to me. He's talking to me. That's the Holy Ghost convicting you, buddy, because I ain't got nobody in mind when I say that. That's God bothering you. That's why your conscience is bothering you tonight. You get mad at me, you're listening to the devil. I'm sweet as I can be. Amen. Let's stand. Amen. All right. Come on, Brother John. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of having and being a part of Sunday school. Help us to take it serious, Lord. Help us, dear God, Lord, us as teachers, all of us, to submit our lives on the altar for Jesus' sake and be a blessing to these young people as we stand before them. Bless our junior church. Bless our bus ministry. Help us, God, to be faithful. And Lord, like you said, to commit it to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Give us Sunday school teachers that we need. And bless Brother Lee and Brother Glenn and Brother Bruce and them that work in the junior church and the Sunday school classes and all of our teachers, God. Bless them, Lord. Let our Sunday school be just that, a Sunday school for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.